Bottle Episode is a spirited podcast about spirituous libations. Those under their country's legal drinking age should turn off this podcast and go do their homework.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to Bottle Episode, the professional bartender's guide for the cocktail enthusiast. We're here today with just me, Lan, and...
me, Elise.
Elise. Just the two of us today. We are sipping on a simple little cocktail, a delicious little cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And you requested this one. What are we sipping
we're
on today?
We're drinking... Calimochos.
Calimochos, yes.
Yeah.
And what are the ingredients of the Calimocho?
It's just ice in a glass and half...
and that's it.
It's just ice, guys. I'm sick. No. Ice chips. It's half red wine and half Coke.
Yeah.
Which is fun and weird and kind of sounds like what the heck?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little weird, but it's also pretty tasty. It's a Spanish drink.
Mm-hmm.
I went to HEB and picked out the finest Spanish wine.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the label just said, "Welcome to Spain."
Hell yeah.
But it was actually Spanish. And Mexican Coke, because of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's spelled Calimoxto.
No. Wait, yes.
Yes. That wasn't a question.
Sorry, wait.
I was saying that so that our guests, or so that our listeners, who may not know how to pronounce or spell it, would
Sorry.
Know.
I got lost in the letters. Would not be good at a spelling bee. I was like waiting for the X, and then I like missed it. Yeah, there's an X in there,
yeah.
And like I always like want to spell it wrong because the X and the T. And the T comes first.
Uh-huh. No.
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
So I did spell it
wrong. So you did spell it wrong. I
oh,
knew
no!
something was wrong. And then you were like, you idiot. You don't know how to spell it. And I actually do have my computer open to several different articles about
okay.
the drink.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I said M-O-X-T-O,
yeah,
but it's
no.
M-O-T-X-O.
Yeah. So Calimoxo.
Yes.
Yes.
So we were both wrong in different ways.
Yes.
But mostly you were right and I was wrong.
Yes.
Because you did say that that was not how it was spelled.
Yes.
And it wasn't
no.
how it was spelled. So I was wrong.
Yeah.
And you were right. That's it. That's really the.
Yeah.
The more I'm sitting with this, the more guilty I feel for like. Soft mansplaining to you.
Yeah. Which like I just like interesting because I don't know. I had a friend in high school named Zochiel and it has like I think it has like the TX or something like that.
Yeah.
And but her name was spelled wrong.
Huh.
Like her mom spelled it not
cool.
the way Zochiel is spelled. So like I'm just like TX, I don't know.
So tell me why you wanted to talk about this drink. It's not one that I think about almost ever.
Yeah.
The only time I ever think about Calimochos is when we go to Calimocho in Austin.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like also...
which is pretty rare.
The only... I've been there two times before shows, I think.
Yeah. Well, and we've also been to Hestia.
And
which is
Hestia.
Like it, Calimocho is the bar for Hestia, but
yes.
you can also just go to Calimocho.
Yes. But I don't know. I just thought it would be fun and also easy to make at home. Like, I feel like it is the perfect, like, at home cocktail.
Yeah. And it's pretty low. I mean, like,
it's
wine and Coke. It's not even hard liquor.
It's the easiest thing. And I also just thought it is like a weird little drink that like sounds like definitely the first time I ever heard of it. I was like, that seems like sacrilegious, but it is actually really good.
Yeah. It's a fun little cocktail. And it's, I remember, yeah, the first time I saw it, I think I thought that it was not going to taste as good as it does.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that I think the first time I had it was at Old Glory, because we had it on the menu for a brief moment.
Okay. I think the first time I had it was
at Old Glory.
Calimocho.
Oh, at Calimocho.
I think so.
And the way Calimocho does it is really cute too, because they do it in, because it's red wine and Coke. They have like little glasses that are mm-hmm. like stamped to look like Coke mm-hmm. Cans. And I think that's just a really cute presentation.
It's really cute. So anyway, I was curious like how it happened. And I guess, I mean, do you know?
I've done zero research, looked up nothing.
So I guess like, okay, if you could guess how it was made, like, why do you think people would have mixed Coke into red wine?
Oh, actually, I do know a little bit about it.
Okay.
It's a teen drink.
Maybe. Not according to this. I mean, it is.
It's drunk by Spanish teens.
Yeah, kind of. That is true. That is a true fact. And like they will just drink half a bottle of Coke and then pour red wine in and get like drunk on the streets.
Yeah.
Because it looks chill. And then they're like, it's actually the old vodka in the water bottle trick.
That's like kind of where it originated.
That's not where it originated.
Okay, well, I don't know anything. But, let me.
Or apparently that's not like the most accepted lore,
okay,
I guess.
Yeah,
but
hit me with the
but
lore.
But I guess they do, like young people do that, like going to festivals and like going around because it's like low key, but you know, whatever. But I guess, and I guess like it's like a Basque drink specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess in August there, they have a bunch of festivals. And this group of people, it says they're called the Ansarac. It's just like a group of friends or like a bunch
just
of people who organize a bunch of village festivals.
Okay.
In the Basque area, they purchased 2,000 liters of wine, in the 70s. So August 12th, 1972, apparently, if you really want to know the specific date, that was when the festival was going to happen. But turns out they bought a shit ton of shit wine and the wine sucked. And they were like, oh no, what are we going to do? We spent all of our money on wine and all the wine is bad. Oh my God. And then they were like, what would happen if we mixed it with Coke and a little bit of lemon and oranges? And kind of made a little weird sangria moment. And everyone was just like, works for me. And everyone had a great time. And it saved the shitty wine. And there were no complaints.
And saved Christmas.
It saved Christmas. So one of the members was named Calimero. And they called them Cali.
Okay.
And so his name was Cali, and the Basque word for ugly is mocho.
Okay.
And so I think they were just like, this is the ugly little drink. And yeah.
So were they calling their friend ugly, or were they like this also saying like, this is like, were they
yeah,
being mean to
ugly.
Their friend? And so Callie was ugly, and
was
the
ugly
drink was
and
ugly.
Always late. And and so
ugly and also always late.
Yeah,
you have to be hot in order to be late.
No, yeah. So they're like,
those like rules are
you.
Rules. I don't
yeah,
make them.
You can only if you be can, late if you're hot.
If you're well, acceptably. Like
if you're just like
people are
when,
going to
when,
resent
like,
you for being late if you're not
and
hot.
And then you walk in and everyone's like, hey. Yeah. But if you're like the ugly one.
That's why they call it fashionably
you,
late. Because
you
have to be hot.
Yeah. We asked you to bring the beer. And you're late.
And you didn't
what
even
the
bring
heck?
Beer.
And you're ugly? Are you
and
kidding
you're ugly.
me? So it basically means Cali is a name. Mocho means ugly. So
an
it's
ugly
just like
drink
an ugly,
for our ugly late ugly friend.
So it's kind of like the name alludes to like a fucked up thing that does not do what it's supposed to do, but it works anyway, I guess. So that
Cali's ugly. He's always late, but he like is really good at
really charming. Always like I guess maybe fixes everything.
Yeah, he's like he's the guy that you call to fix your toilet before you call the plumber.
So that's fun.
That's great.
And then yeah, it like
it's a funnier story than I was expecting.
Yeah, and then it like obviously
and definitely better than teens.
Teens. It's the teens and their little gross
teens made
ways.
It up.
But yeah, teens like it became like you said really popular throughout the 80s, and it's like a cheap thing to make, so it obviously got popular with the youths. So pretty cool.
Yeah. And it is surprisingly refreshing. I think.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
I almost because we don't drink soda that much. I mean, we drink like sparkling water, but we don't drink soda that often.
Olipop, if anything.
Yeah.
And I do
the occasional Diet Coke. Yeah,
on a really
I've been hitting the Diet Coke like not crazy
off,
hard
off the vape on the Diet Coke.
I've been hitting the Diet Coke like semi-hard lately because I like have found myself at work with no caffeine. Mm-hmm. So I'll hit the Diet Coke when I need some caffeine at work. Yeah, I did Mexican Coke because I figured that would be a little bit tastier. Mm-hmm. And I like the pairing, honestly. I did about equal parts.
Yeah. No,
wine
I think
and
it's
Coke,
really good.
And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's nothing crazy. It's nothing too like mm-hmm. out there, but I like it and I want another one.
Mm-hmm. I've barely had any of mine.
You've been telling me the story.
Intriguing story of the birth of the Cali Mocho.
That ugly little
that
drink.
Ugly little friend. I'm going to start. It's also such like, I feel like it's like Cali Mocho. Like it's just such a cute little like, I don't know.
It's like, a cute name for an ugly drink and friend.
Yes. Also, I do feel like it's a good drink for if you like don't finish a bottle of red wine.
Yeah.
And you're drinking it a few days later and you're like, it's not bad, but it's not going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, eco-friendly.
That's totally fair.
Waste.
I mean,
saving.
Also like. Cook with it or something.
Cook with it.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Yeah.
But
I'm not saying drink bad red wine. I'm just saying.
We're never saying drink bad red wine. And I will say, of the drinks that I've had some, I think 2023 was a year for bad drinks for me. Like, I went to some bars that I felt was like, oops, all bad drinks.
I won't name names. I heard a lot about these bad drinks.
I named names to Elise. Yeah, I will not name names to you. But I went to some bars last year where as many wonderful drinks as we had, which we kind of talked about in our last duo episode. But as many great drinks as we had, I had a few really, really bad ones. And I remember like my buddy Ivan, who was on the podcast, mm-hmm. our buddy Ivan, mm-hmm. And at this point, y'all's buddy Ivan.
Friend of the pod. Our friend.
Friend of the us. He brought over a bottle of wine once. I think he brought it over for Thanksgiving last year.
Okay.
And I remember because he came for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but then he left because he was like meeting other friends or he had to work or do something.
So many friends.
But he like came over, dropped off a bottle of wine and it looked cool. It was like this Austin bottle of wine. And then
did he come over for like 5 seconds before he went to work?
Yeah. I think he had to work that night. So he came over, dropped off a bottle of wine and was like, if I get off, I'll come back by, but I don't think he was able to. But he came back over like later. I think it was maybe even after we recorded. And we were like, oh, let's crack this bottle of wine. I think maybe you went to bed and we were just like hanging out.
Sounds right.
But we cracked open this bottle of wine and like we both poured ourselves a glass. We started like walking from the kitchen to the living room. Okay. And we, like, I took a sip and like spit it back out and then turned around and was like, you don't want this. And he was like, what? And I was like, this is really bad, man.
Okay, I do remember that. I don't know if I can't remember if I was there, but I think I was like, ooh, wine. And then you were like, don't
drink it.
And I was like, is it really that bad? And then I was like, yes, it's really that bad.
I wonder if, so I guess the question I'm asking, the point of that story is, do you believe that Coke would have fixed that wine because it was undrinkable.
I think the wine, the 1,000 liters of wine that they had purchased was also undrinkable.
Yeah. So
maybe.
I gotta drag down this bottle and buy it just to see if the Cali Mocho.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How much do the grapes go into the flavor versus the way you make the wine?
A lot. I know that to be true.
Both? Or the grapes?
How much both for sure, but the like terroir and the grapes, the quality of the grapes is huge for winemaking. And Texas in general, the hill country, it's just too damn hot to make consistently good wine. That's not to say that there is like that all Texas wine is bad. But a lot of it really is not that great because Texas is just so, so hot.
And
I think the soil is not the best for like flavorful grapes. So I don't know enough about wine. I will remind everyone that in our very first episode, I thought that a lot of the snobbery around wine is fake. And I simplified that by saying wine is fake, which again, I know is not the case.
Wine is real.
Wine is real. And we just drank it. But I don't know enough about wine to say like, what about Texas makes, like, what about the soil or the heat makes it so that making good wine here is so difficult, but it is I think some of the reasoning behind why so much wine is made in Texas is that there are a lot of things about the climate and about the soil that are similar to Italy, which is funny. You know, we talk about when we're driving through the hill country or like over by Lake Travis, we're like, it's just like Italy.
sometimes like it's hilly. It really is. Like the trees look a certain way.
Yeah.
Like,
but there are some portions of like what is going on in this general area that are similar to the climate of Italy. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm pretty sure that Italy is like a bunch of latitude lines farther
also,
north.
Yeah, fully
than,
not as
than
hot
Texas.
As Texas.
Well, yeah, I mean that for sure. But like
probably
Texas
like
is so much closer
average
to the equator than Italy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So like as much as there might be like maybe the weather is similar or the soil is similar, like the terrain is similar, the fact that it is just so, so, so hot here, I think is not great for grapes. In general.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got on Texas wine. Oh, because shit
because
wine.
Because of that bad wine. And then
you can buy shit wine and hopefully like, Coke will make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you get a bottle of wine that just is really bad in general and you're like, ugh.
Maybe go out and buy some Coke or pull some out of your fridge if you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like this drink and I will keep it in mind. Keep it more in mind for the future because it is like it's also
good.
Like
it's like crushable, but also like I feel like it's crushable, but it's like it does have the like weight of the red wine, so yeah. It's not like I'm like a like if it were more spritzy, then I like
maybe would crush faster.
It. So it's like a good little sippable, yeah. Like you know, still light, but
yeah. What would we call white wine and Sprite?
So we have a Cali Mocho.
Yeah.
So if you had, oh my God, should we make, wait, we have Sprite. Now that makes me want to go out and get like the shittiest wine, white wine for part two.
We could. I mean,
that's such a bad idea.
I just cracked a bottle of wine.
This is true. We should probably stick.
And
to
at this point, I think that we're recording this on a Friday night. I opened the bar today and got off. So if the energy is low, it's because I'm tired.
Yeah. I too. Today.
One thing that'll help perk me up is a little bit more caffeine and then just a little bit more booze.
And so we'll think on
names.
We'll call
actually, and let's actually put that to the listeners as well.
Okay.
If you have an idea for what white wine and Sprite will should
like
be called,
like
also,
pixie?
Do you think it'll be good? Pixie is good. I like
because
that
it's Sprite.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of like that. Damn. Pixie Mocho.
Pixie.
ugly pixie.
Wait, is an ugly pixie just like a goblin?
No, an ugly pixie would be like a... my nerd is going to show up, but I feel like...
Show it. Bring it out.
I guess pixies are like the more mischievous like cousins to fairies. So it's already kind of like...
I feel like, okay...
You're the one who played a druid in our last campaign.
I know,
and kept
I'm
summoning
looking,
pixies.
But I know. Well, pixies are pixies. Those are I'm looking at
I'm
up
just saying you might have more fey knowledge than
mischievous
folk, fairies.
Folks spirit creatures. A duende from Spain and Latin America.
Oh, well that would work great.
Yeah.
Duende mocho?
There's something that's like a leprechaun. It's from Ireland, but it's a
chloroform?
Chloroquan. A chloroquan? Chloroquan?
Okay. I kind of like the duende. Like...
Duende? Duendes? This is a mental floss article.
Okay.
Citing my sources.
Awesome.
Duendes are small elf-like creatures originally from Iberian folklore, a tradition that later migrated to Central and South America. Notably, they have no thumbs. You know, you either have
no thumbs
or you're always late, one or the other.
Yeah.
They have known to be both good and bad. They do mischief making and they will exact revenge if they feel like they've been wronged.
And that's a hangover.
So it is. Yep. So it's like a thing that parents are like telling their naughty kids to like watch out for the duendes. They're going to get you.
So a pixie or a pixie mocho or a duende mocho. Or if you have a better idea, please sound off in the comments
of the posts that we do. Or our DMs.
Slide into our DMs. Just like contact us in any way.
Email us.
Yeah, send us whatever. And let us know what you think. Yeah.
On the street.
Find us on the street. Billy on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And let us know what you think of what white wine and Sprite should be. Our very cool new cocktail that we've come up with.
Yep.
All on our own. But we're going to refill and we'll be right back.
And welcome.
We're back. That was rehearsed, yeah.
We did that on purpose. Uh-huh. So I have a question.
I have a question.
Because I always...
No, wait. I have an answer.
Okay, you better. Or maybe you don't know. So given that the origin story of the Cali Mocho is, bad wine.
Yeah.
Are there any... Do you know of any other cocktails that... were born out of having shitty ingredients? Well, kind of, yes. That is that actually is where cocktails came from, right? Because shitty booze during Prohibition.
No, not at all.
Partially? Or some ingredients? Am I making that up?
Maybe don't.
Sorry, I'm fidgeting.
So that's actually a common misconception.
Okay. Fake news.
The majority of cocktails... that like people think of as Prohibition era cocktails
mm-hmm.
were invented pre-prohibition in like the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Mm. Some examples?
The Old Fashioned, the Manhattan, yes, yes. The Daiquiri, like all of these cocktails predate Prohibition. And a lot of people think that like the Old Fashioned was invented during Prohibition, but that's not true. In fact, it's actually more accurate to say that like it was maybe reinvented during that time.
Okay.
And that being said, like the Old Fashioned that was very popular for a very long time, the one with like muddled cherries, maybe some soda water, like, and a bunch of extra sugar, that was kind of popularized during Prohibition because you wanted to lengthen it and you wanted to cover up your shitty booze.
Okay.
So there is an element of that. There are, and that's not to say that there weren't cocktails that were invented during Prohibition, but the majority of them you'll actually find were invented not in the United States.
Yeah.
And, you know, cocktails are in a lot of, like, I think it's reductive to say that cocktails are, like, uniquely American because everybody's been mixing stuff with booze for forever. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of different traditions and things, but there's a lot of things about, like, cocktail culture that does stem from the United States. One of the things that happened, and I think maybe we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I don't know, but like there were so many good American bartenders and bars during that time.
Hmm.
And that's why you see if you like, and they still exist. Around the world, there were bars that were opened that were called American Bar in different places. One of the most notable ones is the American Bar at the Savoy in London.
Yes.
The Savoy cocktail book is one of like the seminal cocktail books released in 1930. And it has like this huge treasure trove of cocktails that are really hard to recreate now because the measurements are super weird. You know, what the hell is a wine glass of chartreuse? You know, yep. Like things like that. That's not a measurement. It's super weird and convoluted, but all that to say, like a lot of American bartenders, because American style bartending was so popular during that time, American bars already existed pre-prohibition, and those places were great spots for American bartenders to go when their craft was entirely eliminated by the government. So the best of the best mostly like either went overseas or they went to like the Caribbean.
Gotcha.
Or like they went to South America, Caribbean, or like primarily Europe, and some went to Asia. But like Europe and the Caribbean were like the two big spots that American bartenders went after Prohibition hit. So a lot of cocktails, and that's not to say that all cocktails that were invented during Prohibition were made by Americans, but cocktail creation didn't stop. Bartenders didn't stop bartending. The best cocktail bartenders in the country those weren't the ones running speakeasies. Those were the ones who went abroad and and made a name for themselves and continued creating cocktails elsewhere.
Okay, cool.
So that's, what was the question?
So, well, my question was like, I guess, were there other drinks that came out of like a bad ingredient or covering up a shitty ingredient?
I think, out of
necessity or like, oh no, the lemon juice went bad, so we're going to use lime. And then, oh my God, like that kind of thing.
But I also think that
that's kind of, who knows?
Yeah. So long answer to the question, like, yes, there is some of that, but I think it was more like that's where the bastardization of cocktails kind of came about. That era, like the Prohibition era, and also again in like the the like 50s to like primarily like this, the 70s, 80s, 90s, with the advent of like club cocktails, sour mix, things like that. The quality of booze went down because cheaper was better. Mm-hmm. And so we added a bunch of sugar and chemicals to make them taste better.
Gotcha. Part two of my question is, like, are there any other drinks? And like, probably this is just ill-advised, but are there any other drinks that are like really good if you have like, I guess, like a shitty bottle of something, or like something that's like kind of on its way out, or like, I wouldn't have this in this, but I would have it in this.
I don't know. I mean, I guess like blank and Coke is always a good option for that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like something that has strong flavor is going to do a better job of covering up something that has a strong bad flavor.
Yeah.
If you can, like, you can't always cover up strong bad with strong good, but you can like maybe mask it better with strong good.
Yeah.
Strong good versus strong bad.
You need to have a bracket off of.
We can maybe do this in like March, do like a March Madness.
March Madness of bad and good ingredients.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned earlier about wanting to do
segment. We didn't ask questions or anything like that. So I have a, it's not a question, but it's a story that my friend told me.
Oh yeah, the story, the nightmare story.
I have like a cocktail nightmare story that I think that you will find particularly heinous. So cocktail nightmares, and this is like a home bartender edition.
Okay, okay.
So my friend Anne Fairley from like childhood sent this to me a few weeks ago. And I've been thinking about it ever since.
So this was in a conversation. This was a like Instagram message or something?
It was an Instagram message, but she was basically like, is this insane?
Okay.
And
okay,
I said,
okay.
And she was basically like, can I ask you about, she said, can I ask you about a crime that I believe was committed?
Oh my
and
God.
And I said,
okay.
Yes, of course. And she said, on New Year's Eve, we wanted to make piña coladas and we were in a shitty Airbnb. So there wasn't a shaker or anything. So she used a pickle jar and, much to my horror, didn't pour out the leftover juice. Parentheses, it was just a little bit. And she said she likes the taste of pickle juice in cocktails. She is my friend who was making the piña colada.
Still?
And they were bad. Is that a thing?
No.
Pickle juice in cocktails, is that a thing?
Yes.
The answer is yes. I said, it's certainly a choice. Shaking in a pickle jar, nice little hack.
Yeah.
Not rinsing it out beforehand, especially when making piña coladas, an actual
crime.
That's
like being like, oh, I love olives. Olives are really good in food. And then being like, and I'm putting it in the frosting for your cake that I'm making for everyone.
Uh-huh.
What?
Exactly.
What?
she said the acidity would balance well with the creaminess, but it did not work with pineapple or the coconut flavors.
Acidity? Oh, no. Yeah. Well, no. No. Oh, boy.
And you, as the paramount piña colada enjoyer, I figured you would find this particularly heinous.
Straight to jail.
So my generous take on it was, maybe your friend is a pioneer and she just missed the mark in her continuing journey towards flavor innovation.
Like, how many did Mike, like, I have follow-up questions here. Like, how big was this pickle jar? It was pickles.
Pickle
right?
jar,
pickle.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it all. Pickles makes it worse.
Pickles makes it worse. I don't know. I feel like olives makes it worse because olive juice or like olive brine doesn't bring a whole lot of acidity.
But like a little, well, I feel like pickles makes it worse. I feel like an olive brine might get lost in the mix and be like a, like kind of like a pinch of salt thing where like, okay, maybe, but there, the pickle. Oh no.
So this were they all like how
because how big was this, like a massive pickle jar?
I don't know the answer to that.
And did they all go bad? Like I can see the experiment of like, what would this taste like? Let's try it.
Yes, but like, I also don't understand that. The like, okay, I have an almost empty pickle jar that I want to make pina coladas in. Great.
Yeah.
I feel that it would be unwise to rinse this out beforehand. Not so great.
It'll make it better.
I actually think like, it's like, I don't want to take the step. Like, I'm imagining what's going through her head here, because she's like, I want to make pina coladas. I don't have a shaker. Pickle jar. That'll probably work. There's still some pickle juice left in there. But I really want a pina colada right now.
That is...
and not... I don't want to take 30 seconds
that is,
to rinse out the...
That is like...
You know what?
An agent I of think, chaos.
I think it'll maybe even taste good. Maybe I am a pioneer of flavor and I am... and I will unlock something profound here. And that's the reason that I want to not wash this out for 30 seconds to get like, the bad flavors
one,
out.
Like, was your friend possessed by a demon?
A pickle demon.
Are you sure this Airbnb was not haunted and your friend didn't get possessed and was like, oh, I'm going to ruin the party. like full demon.
There are very few ways to make pina coladas bad. I will find a new one.
like
we
new,
have discovered two on this podcast.
New
We've discovered
level
the two
of
ways
hell
to make
unlocked.
Pina coladas
no,
bad.
No pina.
No pina
no
or
pina
rum.
No pina or add pickle juice. Oh my God. That is horrifying. I honestly, if I was in that situation, I might be like, one, do it. And if you do it, you have to drink the whole thing. Or two, if you make one for me and I'm saying no, I'm like, you might have to leave this trip.
This is hot.
Find a hotel.
This is hot Kool-Aid level.
That's hot.
This is hot Kool-Aid level crime.
I made this for you. like pickolata.
Yeah. And that's, again, like pickle juice in a cocktail, like picklebacks exist. Pickle juice in cocktails is not necessarily a bad thing. I like pickle brine. Like, I like the idea of like a pickle brine, like savory martini. Like,
yeah.
Not to always bring everything back to martinis, but like, that's the realm.
That sounds like it could be good.
That's the realm. Like savory.
But
is
not
where you wanna
your
go.
Sweet, like pickle espresso martini. No. Like,
although olive oil espresso martini, I have.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I was honestly thinking that, honestly, a shot of espresso in a Calimocho would kind of
that would actually fuck, yeah.
Real.
That would slap real hard.
Real hard. I want that
I also
in the morning.
Want that. We need to get an espresso machine.
We do.
They're just so expensive.
Yeah.
Like the good ones are. But so, which, but this story, which mm-hmm. again, we are on the same page. A crime was committed here. Uh-huh. But You stumbled upon something that I think is cool, or your friend did, which is using a pickle jar or any kind of jar as mm-hmm. a cocktail shaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which yeah. brings me to a segment that I want to start employing
okay.
for
yes.
for like our specifically our duo episodes.
Yes,
but maybe in general.
I like it,
but this is a new segment that uh-huh. I want to test out.
New called segment.
Cocktail hacks. Cocktail hacks.
There were explosions
yeah.
that we paid to be CGI
yeah.
behind
we
us.
We saw them and they were really
they
cool.
were really impressive. The special effects that just
so
happened.
I wanna like
I have a hack.
I wanna put this
a related
out.
Hack.
Okay,
Say what you're going to say.
Well, I want to put this out. So listeners, bartenders, home bartenders, whoever, if you have a cocktail hack, we want to hear about it. Something that makes you know, if you're able to skip a step by doing this one thing, you know, doctors hate this one trick or whatever. Like
doctors hate him. He makes everyone drink more than recommended.
But like whatever, if you've got a cocktail hack, if you've got something that makes your life easier when you're making cocktails, or maybe it's a specific cocktail, I want to hear all about it. So please hit us up with those things. So now we've got come up with a better name
for the
Sprite Calimocho, and hit us with your cocktail hacks, because we're going to be asking bartenders when we have them on.
Yes,
I think.
And it might stir up some debate. Give us your controversial hacks.
Yeah, hit us with your controversial
doctors hacks. Hate them. But I feel like
you've got a cocktail hack.
Yeah. Well, like I love jam in a cocktail.
Yeah.
Like using that sometimes instead of simple syrup, instead of a sweetener, in like margaritas to make like a strawberry margarita or whatever jam you have, margarita, or like literally anything. I think it's delicious and yummy. But I've seen people take the when they only have a little bit of jam left in their jar, put like a little bit of gin, a little bit of lemon, and just shake it up and then drink like with
straight
ice and just drink it right out of the jar. And I feel like that's like
a
good version of the the pickle debacle.
Totally.
But like I feel
it's
the
kind of sustainable too, because you're using the last product,
little bit of it.
Yeah, that's great.
So I like that feels like the same energy, but a lot more like I would recommend I'd recommend it. And I think that's a good hack for that last little jam that you can't get out of the jar.
My cocktail hack is using a little bit of crushed ice to whip shake an egg white drink instead of dry shaking and then shaking with ice. Back in 2022, we had Jessica Sanders on, and I asked her, I think somebody was asked, like one of the listener questions was about like dry shaking versus reverse dry shaking. She was like, I don't do either. I whip shake. And ever since then, I've been like, So I finally tried it out, and I was just like, oh yeah, this is like way faster, way better. And like, it saves you so much time. Like you might shake for the same amount of time that you're shaking. Like you may end up shaking the crushed ice for the same amount of time that you would dry shake and full shake, but there's no like cracking open the tin, adding ice. Like you're still saving like 20 seconds of time. Also way less cleanup.
Nice. I think probably my all-time favorite hack that we have discussed previously as being like, wait, that's cheating though, is the taking a mug, putting equal parts sugar and water, putting it in the microwave, and boom, you have a small little batch of simple syrup.
Shout out to Nick Dolan on that one.
Yep. Big shout out. I've done that at friends' houses when I'm like, can I make a whatever?
And they've lost their shit.
And I'm like, let me just scrounge around in your fridge and like, do you have white sugar? Like, or just any sugar? Like I can, and then they have like three bottles of something. And then I'm like, let's make fucking cocktails. Let's go. And then you don't make a mess in their kitchen. You're not like making them clean pots. Like it's just a mug. You're good to go. You can make a lot of cocktails and it's easy, or just you could do it at your house too.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
But I do love that hack. And again, I have gone over to people's houses and been like, let's make cocktails.
Yeah.
And then it's like super easy cleanup and like yummy, delicious things. So
yeah. So we do want to hear, you know, if you've got a cocktail hack. Again, we're gonna be asking. I think this is something that is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I want to, like, especially the ones that are more controversial.
Yeah. Like what weird ass.
I imagine myself just being like, I don't like that.
We might judge you, but
I want to hear about your cocktail hacks. I want to know all about them.
Yeah. Because
also, like, for home bartenders, you know, things like less cleanup, things like that. For professional bartenders, ways to get your drinks to your guests faster, which will just make you more money. Because the faster you can make drinks, the faster you can serve other people and more drinks made. Huzzah.
Yeah.
And
the whole world will get their drinks faster.
The whole world gets their drinks faster when the bartenders are faster.
Everyone.
Benefits every single person on Earth. And that's how we achieve world peace.
Yep.
I think this is a good place to call it for the evening.
I agree.
Evening.
I mean, we just saved the world, basically.
Yeah.
With these hacks.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Yes.
We've had a really fun time drinking Cali Mochos and coming up with new names for things.
Yeah.
Elise, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, you can head over to my other podcast, World is Burning, about its storytelling podcast for your climate anxiety. So a little more serious than this one, maybe a little. We try not to make it too depressing. It's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I like that one. Tell lots of stories over there. Do lots of research. And I have a good time. So go listen to that. Give us 5 stars here and over there if you
five stars all around.
And definitely, again, DM us your Sprite and white wine cocktail names and
DM us your cocktail hacks,
your secrets.
Let us in on your secrets. Let all the doctors hate everyone.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll see you next time.
Catch you next time. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.